Have your Bibles tonight, Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. I want to draw your attention. And if I could just, tonight we look at a couple things. This is the first church. How can we be like them? What are the ingredients that were in their life? I want you to see that tonight. You'll notice this first church. I don't know about you, but I would love it if when people met me, when they met us, when they met people from our church, they said verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, when they saw the boldness of those people from temple, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant people. In other words, they're not people who have been to Bible college. They've not been to a seminary. They marveled. We're just Christians. And what's the difference? They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Now, they were with Jesus Christ physically for 3 years. But you and I can be with him spiritually. He said, look, come unto me. I want you to bring me your burdens. I want us to talk together. I want us to walk together. Do you understand tonight that the Lord wants all of us to be close to him? He wants people around to see they spent time with the Lord. They spent time with Jesus Christ. They're different. Now, they may not know what it is. These religious leaders knew what it was. They knew where they had gotten their boldness. They knew where they had gotten their unity, their words. They knew where they had gotten their power. You'll notice, if you would, in verse number 17, but that is spread no further among the people, let us straighten and threaten them. Now you see the problem this young church had. Peter and the disciples had this problem. They're being threatened. Now, literally, it was not a threat. You notice in verse 18 of chapter 5, you'll notice in verse 18, and laid their hands on them and put them in common prison. So they didn't just threaten them, they actually put them in prison. And then you'll notice that they were beaten in chapter 5, verse 40. If you'll notice that verse, and they agreed, and to them I agreed, and when they had called the apostles, they had beaten them. They commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, let them go. And then in chapter 7, they stoned Stephen. So these people were not fooling around. They wanted these disciples to stop talking about Jesus. And you know, the world that we live in wants us to stop talking about our great Lord too. They want us to be silent, to not make a big issue when somebody lies a little bit, not to make a big issue when somebody cheats a little bit, not to make it a big issue when somebody runs around their wife. I mean, everybody does that. Or let's not make it a big issue when somebody is, and you fill in the blank. They want to live the way they want to live. Let's just not make it a big issue. Accept them in the church. And there are churches all over today that are putting on their signs, you know, very accepting. You know, open hands. And it doesn't matter how you live. We just want you in church. But I got to get you to understand, we all have to realize that we operate off of the principles of God's word. That's what gives us our backbone and our courage, our boldness. We're to stand up for that which is right. Now, notice if you would, they were trying to see people saved. They wanted to see people won to Christ. The world doesn't believe in that. They don't believe that Jesus Christ can save a soul and change a life. Now, we all know that to be true, but they don't. And so you'll notice here in verse number 19 of chapter 4, but Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. That's our response. Is it right to obey you or to obey our Father in heaven? Now, they had this problem. Look in verse number 21. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing. Now, that's the way every Christian ought to live. They wanted to get rid of Daniel, and they could find nothing. They wanted to get rid of Peter and John here. They could find nothing. We want to live clean. We want to live. We want to do what is right. All of us in this room, if we're going to have a standing with anyone, we have to do what is right. Now, right is not very difficult to find. Most of the time, it's hard to do. But you'll notice here in verse number 23, they responded correctly. Now, keep in mind, if you would, they've been caught. They've been threatened in verse 17. They've been threatened in verse 21. And then there's this man that's been healed. He's above 40 years old, and he's walking around. They got nothing to say. So when lives are changed, people have very little to say. Notice, if you would, verse 23, and being let go, they went to their own company. You know what they did? They responded correctly. They had a problem. They've been threatened. What do we do about it? Well, number one, we're going to all get together and we're going to encourage one another and praise the Lord. Notice what they did in verse number 24. When they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, "Thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them." And so they praised the Lord. They said, "Lord, you're wonderful." And you and I, we have to learn to praise the Lord when a problem comes, because it's not new to Him. Anytime there's a problem that you and I face, our church faces, it's not a new problem to Him. We just have to learn how to deal with it in the right way that brings honor to the Lord. So they get together and they said, "Let's just praise the Lord." They all got together. You'll notice the rejoicing in verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. They said, they're going to beat us. They're going to throw us in jail. They're even going to kill us. What do we do? Let's just praise the Lord. We don't really know what to do, but let's just praise the Lord. We know what He wants us to do. He wants us to let people know that He loves them and that He's the great God, and that all these different gods that are out there are false and people are going to miss heaven. Let's tell them the story of Jesus Christ. Let's tell them that He died for them. So notice, if you would, in verse number 25, "Who by the mouth of thy servant David had said, why doth the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing?" You'll notice that they believe Psalm 2:1 was written by David and it was inspired also. So they bring it up in the New Testament. Now you'll notice he says in verse 27, "For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus." Now they're speaking to the Lord. "Whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand, thy counsel determined for to be done." And then they paused and said, "Now, Lord, look, we need your help." Look in verse 29. "And now behold, Lord, behold their threatenings." That's what we have to do. We have to sic the Lord on them. We don't have to do it. We just have to say, "Lord, behold their threatenings." Hezekiah had the letter from Sennacherib. He laid on the altar in the temple and said, "Lord, behold his threatenings." And God took care of it that night. And so here these men, women, they said, "Lord, you behold their threatenings. You heard them say it, Lord. You know what they said." And you know, their response was, "Lord, would you remove those people?" They didn't say that. I'm convicted because they didn't ask for the problem to be removed. They asked for power to overrule the problem. Notice what they did, verse 29. "Grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word." This word boldness, parousia, literally it's a cheerful courage to plainly speak. Boy, isn't that, Lord, they can threaten us. Lord, you behold their threatenings. You take care of the threatenings however you want. But Lord, as far as us goes, give us a cheerful courage, Lord. Give us a courage to pass out tracts cheerfully. Lord, give us a courage to witness to people cheerfully. Lord, give us a courage to pray for people that don't like us. Lord, help us. Give us boldness, Lord. Give us a cheerful courage to do what is right. Notice, if you would, that boldness seems to be the theme here. They knew they were afraid. They knew they were scared. Keep in mind, there's 120 of them against the world. Now, 500 watch Jesus go into heaven, but there's 120 of them in the upper room. And that 120 people got together and prayed, we've got that many tonight or more. Why can't we be like they are? Look, it all starts with us. If we're going to make a difference in this area, we've got to say, Lord, give us more boldness. Lord, give us a cheerful courage to plainly speak. In other words, we want to get the gospel out so that it's clear. We want people to know that we're proud to be Christians. They were being hunted because they're Christians. We're not yet. And so you'll notice, if you would, in verse number 30, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. Now, we're not going to say, Lord, give us power to heal, but we can say, Lord, would you answer our prayers? Lord, would you show your mighty power? Answer our prayers. And that's what he's been doing. But we've got to get to the point where we get on our knees and we pray often, we pray fervently. And that's our resource for boldness. Lord, help us. Now, if we don't do what's right, our prayers fall on deaf ears. But tonight, could I challenge every one of you that this is our church? We've got empty pews. Now, I know there are people that are home on live stream, lots of them, that are concerned about the pandemic, and that's okay. But we want to still reach out to people and see people saved and see them in church. And God didn't allow the pandemic to stop everything spiritual going on. And so when you're at work or when you're out in a neighborhood, invite somebody to come to church. Lord, grant to me all boldness, Lord, that I may have a cheerful courage to plainly speak for you. It's not an in-your-face kind of thing. It's a gentle boldness. It's, boy, we'd sure love to have you come. We're going to have donuts on the 10th. We'd love to have you come to church and have fellowship with us. We'd like to invite you to a men's prayer breakfast. It's an opportunity to pray and to meet people. And folks, that's the time when we graciously swarm on somebody. Boy, my name is so-and-so. We're glad to have you. Folks, I can't do it. I saw somebody come in this morning. I went back, shook his hand, said, hey, thank you for coming today. He said, I've been at the same church for since 1962, but I'm looking for a new one. I know what it is. And I saw somebody out there talking to him, and then somebody else talking to him, and somebody else. And he says, my children live right here in Hiddenbrook, and boy, I sure would like to have them in a good church, and I'm looking. And after the service, he said, boy, I enjoyed the service. I'll be back. Now, that we've got to go after people. Look, it's not just for the church. It's for their sakes. There are people around that are hungry. They're hungry for the gospel. They just don't know it. That's what these people were. They've got sores and wounds in their heart that need to be healed, and we want to reach out to them and pray for their healing. We want to. That's what they're saying, Lord, give us power. Tonight, don't get caught up in the things of life. You know, Dr. Sisk wrote a book about the fifth quarter. He says, I want to finish strong. Well, you don't want to not play in the second and third quarter. You want to play strong every play. You want to do your best all throughout life. And the secret to it is right here. It's let's get together and rejoice in the things of the Lord and the things that the Lord's done for us. And you know, you and I both know that God has been good to us. When we have an opportunity to brag on him, there ought to be a lot of hands that say, the Lord did this and the Lord did that, if we recognize that God really did it. But tonight, I'm just afraid that I don't want to be the kind of church that slips into mediocrity. I don't want that. Do you understand here? This church was on fire. They didn't know it yet, but God had poured his spirit into them. That's what gives you fire. Lord, I need your filling in my life. Lord, I want your filling. You've got to be clean to ask for that. You've got to be willing to say, Lord, as far as I know, everything's right in my heart. And Lord Jesus, I don't have any plans to do what's wrong either. So Lord, would you fill me? Those are the people he's looking for. There's just not very many of them. But he's looking for those kind of people here. If you were God and you were looking for someone to reach people that are on the way to hell, where would you go? Would you go to the church down the street that people don't even bring a Bible? Would you go to the church over across town that they have the doctrine that's not according to Scripture? Where would you go? You'd go to a place like this and say, I want to pour my spirit into you. Will you let me? These 120 people got together. Now, I want you to notice a few things about this. Notice in verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they assembled together. And they were all, I like that, all filled with the Holy Spirit. The carpenter was filled with the Holy Spirit. The shepherd was filled with the Holy Spirit. The farmers were filled with the Holy Spirit. The doctor was filled with the Holy Spirit. Luke. The fishermen were filled with the Holy Spirit. All of them. You want to know why? They were desperate for the power of God in their lives. Folks, can I get every wife in this room to be desperate for the power of God in your life? Every husband to be desperate for the power of God in your life, that you can be the right kind of husband. Every young person, it's time. The Lord's coming back soon. It sure looks to me like, according to Scripture, and you put it all together, it sure looks we're not too far away. And I don't want to be mediocre when he calls us home. Folks, the opportunities we have in the next year and a half, we don't want to wait for that to come about and then say, okay, now figure out what we're going to do. Let's start now and say, Lord, use us. Use Temple Baptist Church. Use me in our youth group. Where the young people say, Lord, I want you to use me. And you pour your heart out to the Lord and say, Lord, give me boldness. Give me boldness to do what's right. I know the youth group I grew up in. We had 120, 150 kids in the youth group, but there weren't 10 of us that wanted to do what was right with all of our hearts. But I can tell you this, God moved in our group. And there were preachers out of that group, a lot of them, missionaries. And so all I'm saying is that there are always going to be people that say, I'm just coming to church so that I can please my wife or so that, you know, so that I can feel good about myself. But where are the people that say, Lord, I need you. Fill me with your spirit. Lord, use me however you want. I am yours. Notice, if you would, in verse 32, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. You see a unity here. We forget ourselves and our own agendas and say, Lord, I'm just yours. And we all pitch in. And say, Lord, what can I do to help? Lord, how can I be a blessing to Temple Baptist Church and, Lord, to you? It's not about Temple Baptist Church. It's about our walk with him together collectively. And do you understand here, I don't want to leave anybody behind. I don't want a teenager to say, well, you know, I let everybody else serve the Lord. I just want to live my own life. I don't want anybody here. I want it to be like this right here. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Look, I pray for you, but I can't make decisions for people in this church. But I see this church and I'm envious because they were filled with God's Spirit. I'm envious of Peter's power. But there's no reason why you and I can't have that. And I notice right here, and yet I see that all of this Notice, if you would, in verse number 24, I want you to see this thought. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice. Did you get that? There. It's plural. Voice is singular. It's singular in the Greek text. They were as one voice. They lifted up their one voice together. Their multitude of voices together. And you'll notice they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. You know, I love accord. It's homothumadon, which is it's to rush along in unity. It's accord. The root word is to rush along. It's got thumos, it's passion. It's a drive. It's a fire in your heart. And then it's together. We've all got fire in our hearts together. That's the word accord. We have the same direction. Let me just give you a couple things about this. They had the same desires in this passage. You'll notice, Lord, we want your power. They were praying together in verse number 31. They prayed together. They had the same determination. They wanted to do what was right. They had the same distress. Lord, they're after us. There are all kinds of things being taught in the public schools that you and I would gag over. We're not going to change that. I mean, we can pray about it and ask the Lord to do something about it. But our world is going down like this, getting ready for the one world church, getting ready for the Lord to come back to get us. But you and I can say, Lord, please, would you give us more time to reach more people? Lord, would you stand up for us? Lord, would you help? And then you'll notice they had the same dynamite power. They all got together and they were filled with God's power. And those 120 people went everywhere. They just scattered with the dynamite of God's word in their lives. And their children, their families, and they just exploded onto the world. And the Bible says, these that have turned the world upside down have come hither also. They didn't want people to be saved. That was a derogatory term. Those that have turned the world upside down, those that have started a fire of Christianity going everywhere, they come here too. We don't like it. In the day when Jonathan Edwards in Massachusetts, we've heard of him as a great preacher, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. You know what he did? He had Coke bottle glasses and he read his sermons. But he had spent weeks in prayer and fasting. Lord, you got to do something. And then as he began to read that, God's power began to fall. We can have that same power because it's not for a specific age and for a specific people. It's for everybody that wants it, that's willing to pay the price, a unified goal, a direction, a desperation, a determination for the dynamite of God's power. All of us can have that. Husbands and wives get together and pray together. We need some husbands and wives that are together like this, that love each other, that their desires are to please the Lord together, and they want to serve the Lord together, and they pray together. That's when the Lord begins to pour his power, and then we get together as a congregation, as a time to pray, or the Lord's supper tonight. And we, Lord, we need your power. For ourselves to do what's right. For our families to do what's right. Lord, for us to have that sweet boldness, Lord, that cheerful boldness to be a testimony. When I go out to the property and I see those workers, boy, what an opportunity. You know what? One of the project managers said, would you go out and not talk to the workers, please? And would you not have any more lunches for the workers? You know what the old devil's trying to do? Just shh, shh. And we want to be sweet and kind and gracious, but it's no different. It's no different. I don't want you to talk about the Lord all the things that are going, let's just build a building. You don't understand. It's a part of the process. We want to see you saved. Well, I can't say that. But we can pray and put them on our prayer list. And Lord, would you please? We're going to get a chance to go out to the building and soon, whenever, probably next spring sometime, pulling cables for all the computer core, for all the computers, all the fiber optics and all the drops and everything like that. We're going to be working in the buildings. We're going to be working around other people. We have an opportunity to shine. We have an opportunity to, what can we do? How can we help? And to make sure we fit in and we're careful and to make sure we make a difference. Everything in life is an opportunity. And these people said, look, we want to do the best we can. Now, I want you to notice, it will cost us. Notice, if you would, verse 33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. That's what we want. Great power to witness. And great grace was upon them all. Wouldn't you like to have great grace upon your life? I would. A great goodness on our life that we don't deserve. A great goodness on our life that we don't deserve. Every one of us, they all had this. Notice, if you would, then it comes down in verse number 35, 34. Now, this is not going to be necessary. This is not a part of what God expects. But they were so intent on being together and reaching the world that notice verse number 33 and with verse number 34, neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands and of houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Wow, now that's sacrifice. They totally forgot themselves. Now, we can do that without selling everything we have, and I'm not proposing that. I don't think the Lord would have us to do that. But it's the willingness to do what the Lord wants. It's the willingness to do whatever he wants. Would we be willing to sell a house? Would we be willing to take money out of our 401k and give it to the Lord? Would we be willing? Notice, if you would, in verse 36. And this is the part that I want you to sort of, all of us, here's the cost. And Joseph, anybody know who Joseph was? Who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas. That's who it was. Does anybody know about Barnabas? Notice this, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite. Now, this is what happens when you get close to the Lord and there's anything in your life. It costs you. Does anybody know one of the laws of the Old Testament about a Levite? They weren't supposed to own land. So here's Barnabas. Everybody's getting right with the Lord and everybody's excited about spiritual things, and he's a Levite and he's got a piece of land. And he says, uh-oh, I got to go sell my land. But nowhere does it say, once you sell your land, what you got to do with the money? Notice what happens, verse 37. And having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now there's the cost. When the Lord, I shouldn't have done this, I shouldn't have done that, but I'll stop doing it. And then the Lord says, hey, I know I want you to sell that piece of land. I'll do it. Lord, I'll do what you want me to do, Lord. And by the way, I want to give you the money. Wow. Now it started something. And when we do right, other people many times try to get in on it, but their hearts are not right. Everybody likes attention. Whenever Barnabas said, okay, I'm going to give the money to this land, he said, I'm excited about it. Everybody said, Barnabas has got some land. He's a Levite. He hit his own heart. The Holy Spirit's working on his heart. He goes down and sells his land, takes the money and says, here, I'm laid at your feet. In the offering plate, here's the land. Here's the money for that land. I don't want it anymore. Well, without looking at your Bible, you know what chapter 5 is? Ananias and Sapphira. They wanted the same attention that Barnabas got. Wow. God's working in his life. Wow. Man, he's got power in his life. I don't think this was the only thing that happened. I think there are people saved. Because you look a little later on in Scripture, he's the one they went to and said, would you go to the first church? Would you go to Antioch and build a church there? He was the first one they said, would you go and represent us? This Jerusalem church sent him out. So he is already seeing people saved and witness to people. He was on fire, and selling the land and giving it the money was just a symptom of his fiery heart and his desperation to please the Lord. And Ananias and Sapphira says, we want that too. We want people to look at us and say, wow, they're on fire too. So we've got a piece of land. Let's go sell it. And they got together and said, we'll go sell it. But where does this say we have to give it all? It doesn't. Peter actually said, look in verse number 4 of chapter 5. Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? You could do anything with the money you wanted to. In other words, God is not requiring anybody in this room to go sell a piece of land and give it to the church. God is not requiring you to go do anything like that. But he said, if you want God's power in your life, you have to be willing to do whatever God wants you to do. The old devil is always trying to mess things up when the power of God gets going. Ananias and Sapphira were no different. But I want you to notice, Barnabas, son of consolation, the encourager. Barnabas is the encourager. I can just sort of see the thoughts of Barnabas. You know, Lord, I got this land. I need to sell it because I know what you said. I don't know what I was thinking when I got it. But Lord, I want to sell it. And Lord, I think it'd be an encouragement to everyone. Lord, if I just gave you the money, it's a lot of money. I just want to encourage everybody, Lord. So if I give them the money, would that be okay with you? And the Lord said, sure. So he goes and lays it at the apostles' feet. I think that was Barnabas' thought process. I don't think it was, well, everybody noticed me. That was Ananias and Sapphira, but it was not Barnabas. Tonight, could I challenge everybody here? Could I get you to say, Lord, I want your power in my life. I'm willing to give you anything. But Lord, I've got to have your power. The dynamite to help me do what's right. The dynamite to help me speak cheerfully with confidence the plain truth. Lord, would you give me the dynamite to lead my family right? Tonight, where are the men that would say that? Where are the women that would say that? The teenagers. Lord, I want your power upon my life. I'll give you anything you ask for. That's why this church was on fire. Tonight, could that be us? Let's bow forward to prayer. I'm going to ask the pianist to come and play a verse of invitation hymn. I've decided to follow Jesus. Maybe you'd come tonight and say, Lord, we're going to partake of the Lord's table tonight. Could I ask you, just take a little time tonight and think about the goodness of the Lord. Do you want his great grace to be upon you? I do. Let's remember what he's done for us, and then let's remember, Lord, if I could do something for you, I volunteer. Well, but I need your power to do it. You can have anything I have. We're going to have a word of prayer. We'll stand to sing. If you need to come to this altar tonight, maybe you've given your heart to the Lord many times, and the Holy Spirit says, would you do it again tonight? Look, we need to live with our palms up, totally dedicated to the Lord. Maybe you and your wife would like to come and ask the Lord, we want our family to be what you, we don't want it to be like Ananias and Sapphira. We want your dynamite in our lives, that we can live right in front of our children. We want you to fill us with the dynamite of God's power that we can live right together as a church family and have accord, unity, harmony. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts tonight. We can do nothing eternal without you and your power. Lord Jesus, would you pour your great grace upon me and upon these, your children. In your name we pray. Amen.